Welcome, everybody, to the conference call, Inspiration in 10 with a five-minute bonus for Parshas Toldot, where we share stories, inspirational articles and thoughts and Torah thoughts in memory of my father, Harav Gershon, Ben Harav Ben Sion. Tonight, we also dedicate this call in the memory of the Kedoshim, Rav Moshe Twersky, Rav Aaron Goldberg, Rav Avram Goldberg, Rav Kalman Levin, and Rav Aryeh Kupinski. And we also dedicate the call for the Refuah Shalema of Chaim Yechiel ben Malka, Eitan ben Sara, Shmuel Yerucham ben Bela, Abraham Shmuel ben Shena, and Aryeh ben Bracha. This week in South Surrey, the candle lighting is 4:06. And I want to mention again that most of the Torah thoughts that I share are hauled from the talks of the Rebbe, unless otherwise stated. And I apologize to those of you who may have heard some of my stories before. There are no words that would be adequate to express our cumulative feeling of shock, of pain, of horror. Our pain is deep on numerous levels, and we mourn together as one body with our brothers and sisters the world over for those who were brutally massacred in the Holy Land in the last few days and weeks. The horrible atrocities which were committed by our cousins, Yishmael, of whom the Torah says, Pera Adam, a wild donkey of a man, and who has chosen to use the Yadayim Yidei Esav, the hands of Esav that are mentioned in this week's Parsha, to butcher those who were employing the Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Jacob, in prayer. In 1956, after terrorists entered a vocational school in Kfar Chabad and massacred five young men, the initial public behavior of our Rebbe was Vayidom Aharon. The Rebbe stayed in his room, and for the entire Shiva, he issued no statements, no letters, behaving as Aharon, our father, the brother of Moses, after the death of his son. Silence speaks louder than words, and there's a time for mourning with no words. After the Shiva, the Rebbe corresponded numerous times with those in Kfar Chabad, and his first telegram to the people read as follows. I strongly hope that with the help of Hashem, who guards with a wise eye and oversees with Hashkacha Pratit, Divine Providence, you will overcome every obstacle, strengthen both personal and communal affairs, and expand all the organizations in quantity and quality. With peace of mind, may the study of Torah, Torah Chaim, Divrei Elokim Chaim, the living words of God, be strengthened and greatened, as well as the fulfillment of its mitzvot with joy, v'chai bahem. From Kfar Chabad, that is the village there in near Tel Aviv, the wellsprings of Chasidut and the deeds of Rabotenu Nisienu Hakdoshim should be spread until they reach Chutza outwardly in order to bring all of the Jewish people closer to our Father in Heaven, the Chesed Uberachem, and with kindness and compassion, and to speedily bring the complete redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu. The Rebbe is speaking, for those who joined us a little late. I take part in their tefillot and fasting, and I am certain that with God's help, that soon in their true, complete, internal joy, begashmiyut, physically and spiritually, gam yachad. And that's the end of the telegram. We are survivors. We continue to build. When Esav, or in this case Yishmael, uses the hands of Esav, the hands of terror, to try to defile us, we strengthen our Kol Kol Yaakov, our voice of Torah and prayer, to connect ourselves with the Almighty Hashem, who is the only one that can overturn this world gone mad and bring us the Mashiach in an instant. And as the Rebbe said in 1956, and after many other tragedies, our focus is to build and to create as one entity when our enemies seek to destroy us. So tonight, in the few minutes we have left, let's use the voice of Jacob to build and to glean everlasting lessons from just the few bits in our portion of Toldot. One of the famous enigmas mentioned by Rashi in this portion, and we spoke about it in our class this week, is on the opening verse that the Torah tells us, Ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holid et Yitzchak. As the Torah is about to tell us Isaac's story, it tells us these are the progeny of Isaac, Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. And then it repeats, Avraham begat Yitzchak. Why the need for redundancy? Why does it have to repeat that Avraham was Yitzchak's father? As many of you know, Rashi explains that God made Yitzchak as a carbon copy in the likeness of Avraham to quiet those who question whether Yitzchak was really a child of the 100-year-old Avraham. Years ago, there was a community in Flatbush who wrote to the Rebbe asking for a blessing upon the inauguration of their new rabbi. They praised the rabbi and they cited his credentials. The Rebbe gave his blessing for the community to be proud of their rabbi, but he also added that they also have to be the pride of their rabbi by earning it. When the Torah tells us that Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, and then Avraham begat Yitzchak, it's teaching us that it's not sufficient for Yitzchak to be proud of his great father Avraham. Through the life he led and the path that he would choose, Yitzchak, although he had a different way of serving God, also had to be the pride of his father. We cannot be complacent and say, it's just wonderful, we're children of great Jews who came before us. We have to earn the pride of our ancestors. Elie Wiesel once said, and I apologize if I didn't remember the words exactly, but it's something like this. What it all boils down to is this. In the shadows of the rooms of our lives, our ancestors are waiting to hear if we gave over the piece of Talmud correctly. Meaning, are we continuing the legacy or are we just here for the ride? My father, Olav Hashom, used to chuckle when he told the story of a man who walked into a very American-looking butcher shop. The sign said on it, Basar Kasher, which means kosher meat, although it was difficult to discern if perhaps it really said Basar, Basar, because a bet and a kaf are very similar. And the butcher himself didn't look very kosher. He wasn't even wearing a kippah, let alone a tzitzis or a beard. The consumer, he looked at the butcher and he said, is this place really kosher? The butcher pointed to a photograph on the wall of a really religious, pious-looking man. He said, that's my grandfather. Of course it's a kosher place. The consumer still wasn't convinced and he answered, listen, if he was here serving me and you were hanging on the wall, I would have an easier time believing it was kosher. We have quite a legacy to carry on. Let's make our ancestors proud. And in that vein, I want to share another pivotal story in this week's Parsha. As you may know, on the day of Avraham's funeral, Esav returned home from the hunting field with a ravenous appetite. Yaakov was cooking lentil soup, and Esav demanded some. Realizing that there was a much deeper acquisition about to take place, Yaakov offered to sell the bean soup, which represented the materialistic world, in exchange for the responsibility of the birthright. Esav, who had no use for spiritual worlds, was very glad to make a legal sale with his brother and sell to him the birthright and the responsibilities which it carried. 275 years later, when God was about to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt, he referred to them as Bini Bechori Yisrael, my firstborn son Israel. The Medrash tells us here that this is when God affixed his seal on the ancient document which Yaakov received from Esav when he purchased the birthright. 275 years, isn't that quite some time to await the validation of a document? And I thought that the zoning office in Surrey was dragging its feet. The late Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Meshet Tzvi Neria, offered an explanation. He said, you can sell your birthright for beans, but you can't buy a birthright for beans. To throw away one's holy heritage is easy, but to claim it takes years of effort and much hard work. And he used the analogy of a war hero who earned medals for bravery and courage, and he affixed it to his jacket. But sadly, in his old age, he had to sell the jacket for economical reasons. Another man walked into the pawn shop and bought the jacket. He proudly donned the jacket and pranced around like a peacock with it, with this pride. But did it have any meaning? No. He not only wasn't a hero, he really looked like a fool. For the Jews to proudly wear the banner of God's chosen people, the Bechor, the eldest, without earning it, would be akin to the purchaser of the war hero's jacket to proudly display the medals as his own without earning it. Only once the Jewish people had gone through the smelting pit of Egypt and trial by fire, suffering for many years because they were Jews, and yet sticking to the path God had chosen for us with faith, with tenacity, only after proudly wearing their heritage and handing it to their children would they be worthy of God affixing his wax seal to the original document of sale and proudly calling them my firstborn son Israel. To quote Rabbi Yossi Goldman of South Africa, he says, being Jewish is indeed the birthright of every Jew, but it's not enough that God chose us. We must choose God. We need to earn our birthright by living as Jews. Chosenness is not license to snicker or condescend to others. It is far more responsibility than privilege. It's not good enough that our parents and our grandparents were good Jews, that my Zayder was a rabbi or a sheikhid, or my Baba made the best splinters in the world. What are we doing to earn our stripes? Indeed, you can sell your birthright for beans, but you can't buy a birthright for beans. That's the end of his quote. And as I said earlier, it's not good enough that Abraham begat Yitzchak. Yitzchak had to earn the pride of Abraham. And finally, in our portion, when Rebecca dresses Jacob in Esau's clothing and he ensures that Jacob gets the blessing, she ensures that Jacob gets the blessing in this disguise as opposed to clearly just explaining it to her husband to explain why Yaakov was truly the son worthy of the blessings, we extract that Rebecca saw that in the future there would be a time, sadly, that even though Jacob may sometimes appear externally to be wearing Esau's garments, he may dress or he may act like the wilder son, he is really Yaakov inside and indeed needing and worthy of blessings. May we have the strength to live up to our responsibilities and use the kol Yaakov, the voice of Jacob, so that we do not need to feel the hands of Esau. May we make our father proud to call us his firstborn chosen son. Each day we say in our prayers at least three times a day, Al tira mipachad pitom. Do not fear of sudden terror, nor the destruction of the wicked when it comes. Utsu etza v'tufar dabru davar v'lo yakum. They contrive a scheme, but it will not be foiled. They conspire a plot. It will not be materialized. For Hashem is with us. Ki imanu kel. May we merit to see the open miracles of the redemption with the coming of Mashiach now. Thank you so much for joining us. Shabbat Shalom. Remember, candlelighting here is 4:06 p.m. And this week has been called as a Shabbos of unity with Jews around the world. Please go to shul, or if you're in our community, come to shul and use your voice of Jacob. Empower the voice of Jacob. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.